2026, the year of growth.
We learn from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 and Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 that it is in the heart and mind of God for every person who believes and obeys to multiply and become more. Therefore, get ready for 2026, the year of growth, where in every season there must be fruit, according to Revelation chapter 22 verse 2. The first place we need to grow is in our spiritual life. Spiritual growth is the function of obedience to the Spirit of God. This means the Holy Spirit is the only means of growth in our Christian life. The way of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit is a way of blessings indeed. How can we grow if we don't know His ways? The University of the Holy Spirit is the high school of learning whereby spiritual truths are discerned and imbibed. It is time to learn the ways of the Spirit and be fully prepared for the blessings to come. Are you ready? The best is yet to come, indeed.
2026, the year of growth.
We learn from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 and Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 that it is in the heart and mind of God for every person who believes and obeys to multiply and become more. Therefore, get ready for 2026, the year of growth, where in every season there must be fruit, according to Revelation chapter 22 verse 2. The first place we need to grow is in our spiritual life. Spiritual growth is the function of obedience to the Spirit of God. This means the Holy Spirit is the only means of growth in our Christian life. The way of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit is a way of blessings indeed. How can we grow if we don't know His ways? The University of the Holy Spirit is the high school of learning whereby spiritual truths are discerned and imbibed. It is time to learn the ways of the Spirit and be fully prepared for the blessings to come. Are you ready? The best is yet to come, indeed.
2026, the year of growth. Thank you. 2026, the year of growth.
We learn from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 and Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 that it is in the heart and mind of God for every person who believes and obeys to multiply and become more. Therefore, get ready for 2026, the year of growth, where in every season they must be fruit, according to Revelation chapter 22 verse 2. The first place we need to grow is in our spiritual life. Spiritual growth is the function of obedience to the Spirit of God. This means the Holy Spirit is the only means of growth in our Christian life. The way of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit is a way of blessings indeed. How can we grow if we don't know His ways? The University of the Holy Spirit is the high school of learning whereby spiritual truths are discerned and imbibed. It is time to learn the ways of the Spirit and be fully prepared for the blessings to come. Are you ready? The best is yet to come, indeed.
2026, the year of growth.
Good morning, Holy Spirit. This is a new greeting for a new season. Good morning, people of God. Good morning. Anywhere you are connecting all over the world, I say good morning. Welcome into the presence of God, our healer, of our deliverer, of the God who sanctifies us. Today we are here to point you to what is to come. God has revealed to us what is in His heart concerning this ministry, concerning our lives, concerning your life. That this year to come is titled the year of growth. Year of growth. This is the mind of God. This is the heart of God for every believer. It is the will of God. It's the mind of God. As the Bible says, you have seen in the montage in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. God bless humankind to multiply with dominion. That was the heart of God for man. Because don't forget, we are God's masterpiece. We are created to the image and likeness of God in all areas of our lives. What makes us like God unto God? It's our spiritual life. In body, we are humans, but the Bible says we have a spirit. And the spiritual side of man is the part of us that is connected to God, that receive inspiration from God, revelation from God, and have the nature of Christ in us. That's the mystery of the gospel of Jesus of Nazareth. That's the will of God. That's why whatever we say, whatever we do, God is looking at my heart, at your heart. God is merciful. He loves us so much. He doesn't want us to be limited. We limit ourselves when we restrict God's ability in our lives. Today, when you learn to approach your life, your situation, by faith, there is no limit to what you can achieve. God never set a limitation on the blessings in our lives. Why He set before Adam the tree of eternal life? Because God's will was eternal life. What do you mean by eternal life? Permanence. Permanent blessing, permanent joy, a life that is full and free. Such is the mind of God. Safety, protection, blessing, peace, and favor of God. How can this be? When Adam mistakenly chose to disobey God's command and chose the tree of knowledge of death, death came to him. Which death God was talking about? Certainly not physical death, because he's still alive in the body, but spiritual death, separation from God. The dominion is gone. That blessing is gone. There's no way we can walk with God without the Spirit of God. And today, I want to tell everybody that Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, will have the light of life. And he said in John chapter 15, I am the one that chose you you can bear fruit and your seed will remain. That is the will of God. When Jesus came and saw the fig tree looking for fruit out of season, the Lord knew what he was doing. He knew in the natural, fig tree cannot give fruit out of season. It was out of season, but the Lord was expecting to see some fruit. Whatever Jesus does in the gospel, in the letter, is just a symbolic act to reveal spiritual truth in the spirit. When Jesus is looking at you and me today, he's looking for fruit at all times. He's not looking for part-time Christians, but full-time Christians. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, he says, "When the Son of Man come, will he find faith on earth?" Which fruit the Lord is looking for? The fruit of righteousness. Day in, day out, morning, evening, we should always be ready when the Lord comes. And look at your heart to see the fruit of faith, humility, the fruit of the Spirit deep inside of you and the light of God. How can those fruit be? We have love for man and love for God. We have deeds of man and deeds of God. Whatever we do for God's sake, we are doing it on behalf of Jesus. Whatever we do for God's sake, with God first in our mind, it takes divine ability by the Spirit of God to make it happen. This means Jesus never sent anyone to witness for him without equipping that person with the power of the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, the kingdom of God, is the coming of the Spirit of God. Everything about God is divine, is heavenly. God is spirit. Christ is spirit. Holy Spirit is spirit. And his blessings are spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings start first from your spirit. That's the well. From your spirit, rivers of water will flow. Rivers of revelation. Rivers of peace. Rivers of joy will flow from your innermost being. Come to your mind, to your words, and your entire life. You give water to others who are thirsty. That's the purpose why God sent his spirit into our life. And that's the purpose why you are a son of God or a daughter of God. Don't forget, the greatest promise Jesus offers is the Spirit of God. Go read your Bible. There is no other promise greater than this one. That's why the new covenant is better than all the covenants you have never heard. Covenant of Noah is in the new covenant of Jesus. What happened in the time of Noah when judgment came? Noah and his family were saved when they were inside the ark. Today, when you accept Jesus, when the kingdom come, you are a member of the body of Christ. We are protected from judgment. The scripture says clearly, whoever is in Christ, no condemnation, no judgment. The covenant with Abraham. What was the covenant God gave to Abraham? Don't forget, God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, "In your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Take note. In the seed of Abraham, that seed wasn't Isaac. It is Jesus. Isaac was spared, but Jesus went to the cross for you and I. What is the promise of Abraham today? It's a heavenly promise. That's why God said to him, look at the stars. Look to heaven. We know today the children of Abraham are the children of faith, as the Bible says. Faith in who? Faith in the Son of God, faith in Christ Jesus. That's the faith that brings the Holy Spirit into your life. Now, when God looks at your heart, he wants to see what is in your heart. Righteousness, Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what matters. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart of man to see where the light of faith is there, where righteousness is there, where Holy Spirit is there. God will never bring judgment on a person who is endowed with the Holy Spirit inside of him. That's why the Bible says, Romans chapter 8, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." There is no condemnation for anyone who is in Christ. Jesus came to fulfill this purpose, to reconcile us to God, to unite you with God, that the creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty God now, dwells in your heart through the person of the Holy Spirit. When we understand this, we approach God differently. We call him Father. We pray differently. The Spirit of Father in us help us to pray according to the will of God. We live differently. We live by faith. We follow Christ's standard. You have the light of God in you and you grow in the Spirit. Now, this year is called Year of Growth. Spiritual growth, as you all know today by teachings, that spiritual growth is a function of obedience to God. Spiritual growth is a function of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came, he chose 12 apostles, and there were disciples following them. Jesus spent 3 years, according to the scriptures, planting a seed in the heart, in the life of his apostles. He was busy planting the seed of what they are becoming in the future, because Jesus sees the future, the good future he has for them. For 3 years, Jesus was teaching them, admonishing, correcting, building, preparing the vessel for the glory to come. At that moment, they were walking with Jesus. But Jesus knew time will come where they will no longer see him physically. Time will come that they will begin to walk for Christ on behalf of Jesus. Jesus was preparing them to make them ready. What can make you ready? Nothing else but the Word of God. He taught them every single day. He taught them, he prepared them, and sent them to witness for him. Now, I want to use example of Peter. Why growth? We know, we say physical growth is a function of time. As time grows, we grow. Intellectual growth, you go to school, you go to primary school, secondary school, university, you learn. And after you learn, some go to PhD. Now we go into the laboratory of life, where the necessary lessons of life will be applied. You apply what you have learned. And that's where you begin to grow, really. Jesus went to the cross and told Peter, I'm going to the cross. They will kill me. But 3 days, I will rise again. Peter stood real, immediately rebuked Jesus for saying those words. He began to argue with the Lord. Why? Because Peter was still not mature in the faith. Peter was still operating in the natural. Peter, when Jesus was there, sometimes he spoke right. Another time, he listened to his flesh, listened to his mind, and went away. We have this mind, our own. And we have the mind of Christ here in our heart. Anytime Jesus say, what do people say I am? In Matthew chapter 16. They say, you are Elijah. You are Jeremiah. You are Ezekiel. You are one of the prophets. And Jesus turned in Matthew chapter 16, verse 14 to 15, and said to them, you, who do you say I am? The first person to answer, always Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, yes, it's my Father that revealed this to you. Peter listened to his heart and answered rightfully. In John chapter 6, when everybody abandoned Jesus because of the word he said to test their faith, that he eats my flesh, drink my blood, has eternal life. I say, this is hard to understand. They turned back and left. John chapter 6, verse 47, Jesus said, and you, the apostle following me, why you don't go? Verse 68, Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. You can see that anytime Peter is in the right position, listen to his heart, he spoke right. And Jesus said, yes, that was the right answer. But Peter was still human. Anytime Jesus asked him to do something impossible, he focused on himself. I can't do it. And began to argue. when Jesus met him at the seaside in Luke chapter 5, Jesus said to him, verse 4, drop your net for a catch. Peter began to argue, say, Lord, I've been toiling hard all night and I got nothing. Because he was focusing on himself. Then Jesus said to him, cast your net on the right for a catch. Jesus never said try. He said, cast your net on the right and you will catch. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I will drop the net. I will see what you see come to pass. He obeyed. He threw the net. And a miraculous catch of his game. The second time, you all know, in Matthew chapter 14, they were in the boat alone, and there was a storm, a raging storm in the sea. And they were all afraid. Jesus walked on the water towards them. Peter, they saw, say, hey, it's the ghost. Everyone got afraid. But Jesus said, it is I. Do not be afraid. It's I. What did Peter say? Lord, if it is you, ask me, and I will come on the water. That is Peter for you. He listened to his heart, because anytime he saw Jesus, his faith became strong, because he trusts in Jesus' ability. Come! Peter stepped out, being a fisherman. He knew that was a dangerous thing to do, but he obeyed and walked on the water. In a moment, the wind blows. Peter looked at the wind, looked at himself, panicked, and began to sink. His faith began to sink. And the Lord said, why are you doubting? You can see in the life of Peter, he was having one giant fear. Anytime fear comes, he missed the mark. When Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem, he said, all of you will abandon me. All of you, you say, Peter said, for my dead body, I will never abandon you. I will go. I have to die for you. Yeah. Jesus said, okay. But before the root sink three times, he will deny me three times. Peter said, no, I will never. At the end of the day, when he saw Jesus arrested, and no angel came to deliver Jesus, and Jesus accepted, because Jesus was there to do the will of God. That's the mind of Christ. There are two minds, our own mind and the mind of God. They are completely different. Sometimes there are many things we fear, but God sees them as a challenge. God says, go to this place. But you're afraid. Our flesh is afraid. Why? Because we naturally rely on ourselves, on our capacity. When God said to Moses, go to Egypt, say, huh? How can I? He was afraid. He ran away to save his life because Pharaoh wanted to kill him. God said, go back and tell my people to come out. It is impossible for a man to do that. That is God for you. God will always ask us to do something that is impossible for our might and our flesh to do. That is why he sent the Holy Spirit from heaven to give divine enablement. When you read your Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God said, touch not my anointed one and do my prophets no harm. Anointed one. Some people were anointed by God. Kings, judges, and some people, prophets, were anointed by God. What does this mean, anointing? We know anointing as we use an oil, whatever, to rub something. But the anointing that God is talking about is the coming of the Holy Spirit into a person's life. When the Holy Spirit comes over a person, that person will become a new person. That's why Samuel said to Saul, when you leave me, the Spirit of God will come upon you. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9. You'll be turned into a new person, a new creation. The moment Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David as king, the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon David. From this time forth, his life became extraordinary. Supernatural ability come. Supernatural grace come because of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So you can see the only means of growth in our Christian life is the Holy Spirit. God is Spirit. And Jesus commanded us to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. How can we worship God in spirit without the Holy Spirit? Impossible. How can you worship God in truth without the Holy Spirit? Impossible. You can see the Holy Spirit is the foundation of a true living church. He's the foundation of a true believer. He's the foundation of everything in our lives. Ability comes from Him. Grace comes from Him. Strength comes from Him. Ability to preach, to teach comes from the Spirit of God. That's why John said, for anyone who believes in Jesus, who receives Him as Lord and Savior, God has given the power to become sons and daughters of God. Born again, born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, is it possible for someone to have the Holy Spirit or not to grow? That's the question. When a baby is born, he goes through stages. Life goes through stages. We are all embryo in our mother's womb. At birth, baby, toddler, we begin to grow. Young person, an adult, and mature life. Life is in stages. The same applies to the things of the Spirit. Faith must grow deepest in relationship. The grace of God in your life must grow bigger, biggest. That is God for you. The more we hear, the more we obey, the more we increase in knowledge, the more we increase in wisdom, the more we increase in stature. Peter was so afraid of death and denied Jesus 3 times. What happened when the Spirit of God came? We see different Peter. There's a Peter we knew before and a Peter after Pentecost. It was a radical transformation of life. Radical. How is it that the same Pharisees and Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, that condemned Jesus and sent him to the cross, they arrested Peter and threatened him? Do not preach this man Jesus. Peter said to them, judge whether it is right or not. We can only say what we receive. Peter stood in boldness and spoke the word of faith fearlessly. Fearlessly. They sent him to the prison and the angel get him outside. Fear disappeared. What is the difference between that Peter and the former Peter? That's the Holy Spirit. When he comes into your life, he will do 3 things. I want to show you just one picture that will guide us through this lecture we share today. Today, we are talking about the ways of the Spirit. God said in Isaiah chapter 55, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than man's way. My thoughts higher than the thoughts of man. Isaiah 55 verse 8. Since the ways of the Lord are higher, the heavenly ways, spiritual ways, deeper, spiritual thought, how can we know His ways? That's why God said He sent the Holy Spirit from heaven to give them enablement. So let me start my first reading today on the ways of the Spirit. 2026 is year of growth. This series of lectures we are giving you is to help you to get ready, to move ahead. This year was a year of real movement. We have seen many people, their faith was encouraged to have the strength to get rid of fear and venture into faith life, face impossibilities, apply for a job, and receive breakthrough by applying their faith. People heard the word of God, put it into action, and breakthrough came. That is what God wants you to do. He's waiting for you at the point of real movement to manifest His strength in your weaknesses. If we are weak, that's why we need God. But if I say, I don't need God, I'm strong. You don't need Holy Spirit. You continue to follow the ways of man. But when we have weakness and we come before God as a vessel, the Spirit of God will come. That's why we pray, take more of me, give me more of you. John the Baptist said, yes, let me decrease, let Him increase. That's the same. Take more of my weaknesses and give me more of your strength. Take more of my doubt, give me more of your faith. Take me more of my limited human nature and give me the mind of Christ. When we do that, the Spirit of God begin to fill us. The infilling start. He will infill you with power, with ability, supernatural ability to do what no human being can do. We all know Moses said, God, I don't know how to speak. Genesis chapter 4, verse 12. God said, I will be with your mouth. I will teach you what to say. Jesus prepared the disciples. He knew the persecution is coming, a strong one. And he will no longer be there physically to encourage them. But he told them, I will not leave you orphan. I will not leave you orphan. John 16, verse 7. It is better for you I go back to the Father. When I go, my Father will send you a comforter, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him. He is with you through the person of Christ. He will be in you. That was the key. That's the gift of God. Now, in Luke chapter 24, I read what Jesus said. Let me start from verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt in your hearts, in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. As you see, I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, can't you imagine? Despite the fact that Jesus is standing in their presence after the resurrection, they still did not believe. Verse 41. And while they still did not believe, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of boiled fish. He took it and he ate it. Now listen to what Jesus said after. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Verse 45. Then Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And he told them this. Verse 49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. That's what Jesus said. Why did Jesus say that one? Because verse 46, he said, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Now, why did Jesus ask them to wait? To tarry in Jerusalem till they receive power from on high. Because everything about Jesus, everything about the gospel is heavenly. God is in heaven, Spirit. Jesus is in heaven. Holy Ghost is in heaven. This gospel is from heaven. Being born again is heaven. The promise of God is heaven. Everything is spiritual. So how can a flesh testify to the spiritual by itself? It's impossible. That's why Jesus said, wait till you receive power from on high. Then you shall be my witness. We all know what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. What did they do? So they waited. Now today, I'm going to talk to you the first section of these lectures, The Way of the Spirit. What happened at Pentecost? So let's go back. The first time the Spirit of God descended upon them, the promise to fulfill at Pentecost, then we see what is the work, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Before that, let's go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said to them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak to you. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, the disciples saw Jesus and Jesus went back to heaven and they were waiting in faith. They were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's where the true church started. The church, the foundation, everything started at that day Why? Because Holy Ghost was not given before, because Christ was not yet glorified. As he said in John chapter 7, he who believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. The Bible says, verse 39, that he said it concerning the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit was not yet given because Christ was not yet glorified. What does this mean? Jesus has to go to the cross to die for our sins, to bring salvation, repentance, forgiveness of sins. But Jesus' death was just the beginning of his glorification. On the third day, he get out of the tomb. He rose from the dead. He appeared in the body of glory, and they saw him. Touch me, touch me. He entered the room, disappeared. That's why I say Jesus is the firstborn among the resurrection. In the Bible, you have seen many resurrections. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Luke chapter 7, the widow of Nain, his son was resurrected. Dorcas, a lot of people were raised from the dead in the gospel. They were raised with natural body. They die again. That's the difference between Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection with the body of glory. That's the first resurrection. We are waiting for our turn at the resurrection of the last day when Jesus comes. Jesus was glorified and now went to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. That's what the Bible will believe, especially is saying. And they believe what Jesus said. And they waited in faith on the day of Pentecost as they were praying, waiting in faith for the promise to come. The promised Holy Spirit came upon them. Let us see what happened that day. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We all knew this. Everybody, every Christian knew this verse. What happened that day? What was the work of the Holy Spirit that day? A new dawn, a new day, a new purpose came that day. After walking with Jesus for 3 years, after being a disciple of Christ, that day heaven came on earth. That day, a new life came. New people, new creation came. Now, I want to show you that picture. What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Whatever calling of God you have in your life, whatever calling of destiny you have, God has planned that by the power of the Holy Spirit, divine enablement came. That's why Zechariah 4:6 says, it is not by power, not by might, by my Spirit. Holy Spirit came that day to do three things in the life of the apostles, and the believers were there. The scripture says there were 120 about. The question I want to ask everybody, when Jesus was in the earthly ministry, thousands and thousands of people were following him. John reported 5,000 people when he multiplied the bread to feed them, followed Jesus. They all turned back and left Jesus. When Jesus gave them the word, they couldn't understand. They left. But those who were spiritually minded, like Peter, recognized and stayed and followed Jesus. At the day of Pentecost, in the midst of persecution, when Jesus died on the cross, we knew those who truly believed, those who were ready, who knew who Jesus was, who believed his message, who stood their ground, were the 120 that stayed at that day in the upper room. Everybody left. Some say, it was just a philosophy, has gone. It's over. That's the end. That's the end. Even two disciples on the way of Emmaus was going back. The disciples, some went to go fishing, and Jesus met them there and bring them back to the sheepfold. But that day, there were 120 who believed, waiting for the coming of the promise of the Holy Ghost, because they believed that Jesus is faithful. They believed that the time would come where the Spirit of the Father will come and the promise become a reality. They prayed, and suddenly the Spirit came. Now, the Holy Spirit comes into our life as he came into your life for three basic missions. Three. When you look at the drawing on the floor, on top, on the left side, right, you see, I put inspiration. His work in our life is inspiration. What is inspiration? What to say, what to do. When he inspires you, he will reveal to you what you must say, what you must do. The purpose, the vision, he will reveal to you. We call it the revealing word of God. He will reveal you the mind of God, the plan of God, the roadmap to follow. You will never walk in darkness. He will lead you by revelation. Inspiration will come either by dream, either by thought, or by word in your heart. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, those who are led by the Holy Ghost, these are the sons of God. At that time means Jesus is no longer there physically to tell them what to do. But the Spirit of the Father who dwells in their heart that day will tell you clearly in your heart and mind what to do. Now, second, he came to make them fit. Those whom God calls for any service, God will make them fit for the assignment. If God called you to be an apostle, he will make you fit to be an apostle. If God called you to be a prophet by the power of the Holy Ghost, he will make you fit for the prophetic ministry. If you are called to be an evangelist, God will make you fit by the power of the Holy Ghost to be an evangelist with power. If God called you to be a pastor, he will make you fit for it. Teacher, he will make you fit for it. That's why you can see in the middle, that is you. That's ministry, that's Christ's gift. The first one, inspiration. When the Holy Ghost comes, he will come upon you from the Father and change your life. Now you, he will endow you, make you fit for the assignment God is calling you in your life. You can see, the first thing, you have to be a child of God. You have to be born again first. When you are born again, inspiration will come. Leading will come. Revelation will come. That's the first work of Holy Ghost in your life. Now, he came to confirm their faith. And from that moment forward, divine faith, a supernatural faith came to their heart. What is that faith? They don't see Jesus to hear and obey, but they will hear the inner voice of the Holy Ghost and act on the instruction of the Holy Ghost in this heart and walk by faith. We call it divine faith. You hear from the Holy Ghost in your heart. You understand the message. You are convinced and you walk by faith and God will be leading you. That's how the Spirit of Father began to lead the apostles. Divine leading by the Holy Ghost. Now, he made them fit that day. He gave them supernatural gift. The prophet received the gift of prophecy. They received a gift of knowledge to make them fit for the assignment. But all the apostles were completely equipped by God to be able to face the challenges and to preach the gospel with a witness from heaven. Let's see what Peter said. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I will read from verse 10. Listen to Peter was part of those who were there at Pentecost, was the first person to preach when the Holy Ghost came. Let's listen to what Peter said. Verse 8. Though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. I'm reading from the NIV. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Now, verse 10, Peter said, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, search intently and with great care, try to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Father in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glory that will follow. Hallelujah. All the prophets from Abraham, Samuel, all of them, Isaiah, prophesied concerning the salvation to come. That the promise one day, the Spirit of God will come and abide in the hearts of men, begin to write his law in their heart and mind. God became their father, they became their son, they were reconciled with God, with the righteousness of God. That was the promise the prophet saw. But Jesus came to fulfill that day. Now listen to what Peter said. Verse 12. It was revealed to them, the prophet, that they were not serving themselves, but you. Who is you? You and I here. Whatever you see in the Bible, the prophet was serving you and I. That's the word of God. We believe that the word of the gospel that points us to God, so we too can receive the same Spirit of God. Today, if we believe. When they spoke of the things that have now been told by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Ghost sent from heaven. Take note of that. Those who preach the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Take note of what Peter said. If you preach the gospel, you must do it by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven directly into your life. Are you an apostle? You must be called by heaven, endowed by the Holy Ghost sent from heaven to do the work of apostolic ministry. It's not a work of man, it's a work of Holy Spirit. Enablement should come from heaven, grace from heaven, anointing from heaven, Holy Ghost from heaven, because we are going to talk about heavenly things. The gospel is heavenly. Salvation is heavenly. Eternal life is heavenly. The things of the Spirit. That's what Peter said. And that's the same Spirit that came upon them at Pentecost and changed their life completely. So, when the Spirit comes, number one, he will confirm your faith. He will come to make you born again and sanctify you. Once you are sanctified, he begins to give you inspiration. Revelation will come. You become a child of revelation, a man of revelation. You will not be dictated by circumstances, what people say. But the Spirit of Father will give you a revelation, what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. What to do will be revealed to your heart by vision or by word. How to do it? Holy Ghost will give you capacity yourself, wisdom. When to do it, he will give you instruction to go. Let me explain this in one word. We talk about Peter. We saw how he wrestled between his mind and the mind of God. The mind of Christ, the mind of God, was for Jesus to go to the cross. And Peter said, no, you will not go. Jesus said, get behind me. Matthew 16:23. You think like man, not like God. Our earthly understanding must give way to spiritual enlightenment before maturity come. I repeat, there is no shortcut to spiritual maturity. Our earthly understanding, our carnal mind, our intellect must give way to spiritual enlightenment, to revelation before maturity comes. That's why in the University of Holy Spirit, we must take every course, for each course serves a purpose. Peter learned. Through the tests and trials, through the water he walked, he learned. Through the crucifixion of Jesus, he learned by his denial of Christ that because his faith was weak. So he waited. When the Holy Ghost came, the fear disappeared completely. New boldness came, new ability came, new grace came, because Holy Ghost was the one giving the enablement. When the Spirit of God come, he will give you a word. The word of revelation will renew your mind. You will understand the purpose and the will of God. And when you act on it, he will give you strength to do what no man can do. When he say go, you will go. Speak, you will speak. And when you obey, life will be manifested in the mightiness of God. So Peter, one day, the first test God gave to Peter after Pentecost, we all know. We saw in Acts chapter 10. Now, I'm going to read. You can see what the Spirit of God will do. After Peter was born again, sanctified, an apostle, the gift of God was in his life in fullness by Pentecost. But now, how to express that gift? How to begin to walk for Jesus? How begin to be an ambassador? To launch out by faith into the journey? That's what happened at Acts chapter 10. Let's go there. You can see the difference between the Peter we know and the Peter God wants him to be. Everybody knows. The Bible says that Christ is the end of the law for anybody who believes. And Paul said clearly, he who is led by the Spirit is no longer under the law. Peter grown up in his mind as in the law of Moses. So one day God said, this is a new life, a new venture, a new covenant has come. Forget about the past. God wants to save everybody. Today, the promise of Abraham that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in the seed of Abraham, that is Jesus, the time has come. Every person, irrespective of where you come from, your past, Jesus is ready to point you to heaven if you are willing to receive it. What is the greatest test God gave to Peter that day? We all know at that time, the Romans occupied Judea. So they see the Romans as enemy. But Jesus never saw anybody as enemy. He came to save everybody because everybody is under sin. Both victim and perpetrator, everybody stands in desperate need of God's mercy. So God saw to him a dream. In the dream, he was in trance. Let me read Acts chapter 10, verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was called the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devoted and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. This man was a soldier, occupier. Nobody knew that God was working in the heart of this man. Holy Ghost was working in the heart of the man to prepare him for salvation to come. This man, on the outside, he was an enemy. On the outside, he was an oppressor, occupier. But on the inside of his heart, God was about to change this man. He began to give alms to the poor, God-fearing in his heart. So one day, the Bible says, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at the man in fear. What is it, Lord? He said. The angel said, your prayers and gift to the poor have come up to a memorial before God. Your prayer and your gift to the poor. This is what God is considering. Your prayers for yourself and how you respond to those in need around you, God takes care of that. We should never forget that. Not the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the grace of God. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Remember what Jesus said the last day. Come and enter my kingdom. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, you visited me. I was sick. I was poor, you helped me. God looks at the heart of this man and saw a God-fearing person who wanted to change. And God wanted to send the Holy Spirit to that man. Can't you imagine what happened in the mind of Peter? How can the apostles who lived with Jesus for 3 years, who suffered, receive the Holy Spirit as a promise? And God can say, go to my enemy, this man, I want to give the same Holy Ghost I gave you. God is not a respecter of any person. God values every single human being. The person who does not share the same faith as you, the same love of God is there. Jesus wants to reveal himself to that person. That's why we should be careful of having any mindset against any person. Because God's thoughts are different from man's thoughts and his ways are different from the ways of man. God said, how will I convince this man, Peter, to go to the house of this Cornelius? Since by Jewish law, you can never go to the house of a foreigner. So God said, let me give him revelation. Then God, you read the whole chapter at home. God gave him revelation. Wait till Peter have a trance, a vision. And God said, impure animals, kill and eat. As usual, the mind of Peter, who did not understand, began to argue with God. Lord, I have never eaten anything impure, Lord. He was still in the law of Moses. He never understood that Pentecost came, Holy Ghost came, the law is gone. The law of the Spirit of life has come, a new law. But his mind needed to be renewed. His mind needed to be renewed. Those have the Spirit of God inside of him. He didn't understand the vision. He began to argue with God. The Bible says 3 times he resisted the vision and the vision was taken away. Then the helper came. I will read. Verse 4. Surely not, Lord. Please, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Now Peter became more righteous than God. Can we be more merciful than God? Can we be more righteous than God? The person you see as the worst can be the best tomorrow. That's what Jesus said. Many of the first will be the last. Many of the last will be the first. Go and read Matthew chapter 20. Peter, in his mind, has mindset, never is his mind is impure. But God say, I'm the God that sanctifies everyone. Who sanctifies us? It is Jesus. Who saved us? It is Jesus. Who makes us fit? It is by grace of God. All of us who are sinners, all of us, whatever we are, is by the pure grace of Jesus. He brushed aside our unworthy past and brought us to the presence of God. That's why he said, if you do not forgive your neighbor, God will not forgive you. Now, Peter said, verse 16, Acts chapter 10, verse 16. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Verse 17. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the man sent by Cornelius found out that Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They call out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. God said, I'm not sending an angel to preach the gospel. I'm sending a human being called Peter. The job of the angel was to say, hey, call Peter. And Peter come himself will tell you something, which the angel cannot do. Can't you see the position God put human being above even angels? And the Bible said clearly, the angel could not preach the gospel. The angel said, go and call Peter. A small person, an earthly person, a human being, fragile, limited. God said, this is the man that will preach word of life, that will bring heaven to this person. Verse 19, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, take note of the difference. When Peter did not understand, Jesus rebuked, do this, do this, do this. But this time, Holy Ghost was there in his heart in the person of the Holy Ghost. The Comforter, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the very presence of Christ in your heart through the person of the Holy Spirit. Revelation will come from your heart. When he couldn't understand the dream, the helper came and spoke to his heart clearly. Holy Spirit said to him, verse 19, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them to you. Holy Ghost has sent those men to you. Peter went down and said to this man, I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come? Then Peter obeyed immediately. That's the work of Holy Ghost. For the first time, Peter was not led by any person. He was led by the power within him, the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter discovered the Spirit of God that came at Pentecost abiding him began to speak to him clearly. He began to have inspiration from the Holy Ghost. He began to understand the message of the Holy Ghost. He began to have conviction and began to walk by divine faith. Divine faith is when you hear the voice of life in your heart through the Holy Ghost in your conscience and your spirit act on it. And then Peter set a real movement and went to the house of Cornelius in obedience. What a radical transformation of life. The first Peter and the second Peter became a new creation, a new person, a new man. The old man has gone. A new man has come. A new person. What makes him new? The Holy Spirit. When he comes, your new heart, a new mind, revelation will come. Our mind, our thinking is gone. Holy Ghost will give you a revelation and renew your mind. And your heart will obey, will take control of his mind. And Peter became spiritual. And he obeyed and went straight to the house of Cornelius. When he came, his assurance came because Holy Ghost was leading him. Now, that's why I show you. Let me go back to the drawing I show you. If you look, you see, now, phase number three is expression. Holy Ghost make him fit. He heard the voice. Now, God want him to expression mean real movement. Go to the house of this person. When you go there, I will put in your mouth word to say. When Peter came to the house of Cornelius, Holy Ghost began to speak through the mouth of Peter, words of life. Peter was not the one speaking, but the Spirit of Father who dwells in the heart were putting words of life. The words of Jesus were God speaking through him by the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost began to give them utterances, words that come from him, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of prophecy. They were speaking in the power of the Holy Ghost. He was moved by the power of the Holy Ghost to speak. When Peter was speaking, verse 44, the Holy Spirit came and everyone in the house was saved. This is the ministry of the Holy Ghost in the life of the apostles of old. This is the ministry of the Holy Ghost in our lives today for you and for I. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm preparing you for what is to come. I'm preparing you for what is to come, for the year of growth. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's listen to Paul. Yes. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I will start by verse 1. Paul said, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letters written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. Verse 3. You know that you are a letter of Christ from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Now, you say, such confidence, my confidence, is not my own, but through Jesus Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competency comes from God. He's saying, my ability is not me. My ability comes from God. That's the empowerment, the ability the Holy Spirit will give. That was their confidence. That was their strength. He depended on the Holy Spirit to lead them, to make them sufficient for the task ahead. The grace of our Lord Jesus was sufficient for them. Enablement, capacity came to preach the gospel, to teach, led by the Spirit of God. I'm going to verse 7. Now, if the ministry that through death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelite could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Paul, for the first time, clearly said, in the New Testament, the ministry we talk about, apostolic ministry, prophetic ministry, evangelists, pastors and teachers, all, these are the ministry of the Holy Spirit. No man can do the work of God. It's the Spirit of God that gave them enablement. The Holy Ghost will empower them, equip them, and speak through them the message from heaven. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, when he comes into your life, he comes for three purposes. He's the one that makes you born again. He's the one that gives you a new heart. He's the one that gives you a new conscience. He's the one that revealed to you by dream and vision, speaking to you the mind of God, the will of God in your life. He's the one that tells you what to do, when to do, and what when the time comes. What to do, how to do it, when to do it. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, when God wanted to anoint the first king of Israel, God revealed to Samuel, who was a prophet anointed by the Spirit of God. God said to him, tomorrow at this time, I will send this man to you. When he comes, anointing him. Inspiration came, revelation came the day before. The next day, when Saul came to the presence of Samuel, God said to Samuel, this is the man I told you yesterday. This is the one. When you're led by the Holy Ghost, you will never make a mistake. This is the man. God say, anoint him. He's the king. Led by the Spirit of God, Samuel spoke to him, anointed him, and he became a king. What can you say about all this? You can see we can only grow in faith, in blessing, when we hear and obey the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Intimation, suggestion, revelation, direction from the Spirit must come in your heart. And when you understand it, when you act on it, you will see the glory of God in your life. This year to come is the year of growth. The only way to grow in this year to come is to know the ways of the Spirit. The way he leads you, the way he guides you, the way he inspires you, the way he uses you to make the glory of God come in your life. Whatever project you have for the year to come, whatever thought God put in your heart, that's inspiration. Bring it to the presence of God in prayer. Pray and meditate on it as Peter did in Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Until God gives you a clear light. Your meditation brings revelation. When you begin to meditate, understanding will come. Holy Ghost will help you to understand the dream. And when you act on it, the real movement, the glory of God come and the breakthrough come. God will open a new chapter to your life and you will grow in knowledge. You will grow in understanding. You will grow in your business, in your family, every area of your life. The only way to grow is to learn to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in harmony with the living word of the Holy Ghost in your heart.
Good morning, my sister. Good morning.
When you do, the power of God will come and confirm the promise of God in your life. So, this was the first one we share with you today. From now to end of December, every week, we are going to talk about the things of the Holy Ghost, the things of the Spirit. So you can apply it and grow in the Spirit, grow in knowledge, to discover that Christianity is not just a mere religion. No, no. It's a life relationship with the living God, with the Spirit of Father. God has promised to make us His children. If God is your Father and you are His children, you must have His Spirit. We must learn to focus on the Spirit. Of course, there is a battle, as Peter faced, everybody faces. The battle between your conscience and your mind, between the dream and your thought. Now, how do we grow? Holy Ghost will help you to grow in understanding, and then breakthrough will come to your life in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pray for everybody. Father, we thank you for your message, Holy Spirit. Lord, we are praying today for every person watching. We fetch help and grace from above. Give us enablement by your Spirit. Holy Ghost, come. Fall afresh on us, Lord. Open our heart to your word. Reveal to us what is to come. Tell us what to do. Help us in your name how to do it and when to do it. Led by you, by your grace, in the name of Jesus. Open their heart to your word, Lord. Open their heart to the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of faith. Lead us, Lord, Holy Ghost, to make a difference, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Thank you. So, get ready for next year. We are preparing you, planting the seed. There's time to plant the seed. There's time for harvest. Jesus planted a seed in the life of his disciples. The time of harvest will come when the Spirit of God comes in. So today, you are planting this seed to help you to grow in maturity, to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. There's time to listen to a man. There's time to learn to listen to God. The disciple listened to Jesus. Jesus left them and came back in the person of the Holy Ghost. Let the inner voice of God begin to grow in your heart and lead you, and your life will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
The year of growth.
We learn from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 and Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 that it is in the heart and mind of God for every person who believes and obeys to multiply and become more. Therefore, get ready for 2026, the year of growth, where in every season there must be fruit, according to Revelation chapter 22, verse 2. The first place we need to grow is in our spiritual life. Spiritual growth is the function of obedience to the Spirit of God. This means the Holy Spirit is the only means of growth in our Christian life. The way of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit is a way of blessings indeed. How can we grow if we don't know His ways? The University of the Holy Spirit is the high school of learning whereby spiritual truths are discerned and imbibed. It is time to learn the ways of the Spirit and be fully prepared for the blessings to come. Are you ready? The best is yet to come, indeed.
2026, the year of growth.
We learn from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 and Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 that it is in the heart and mind of God for every person who believes and obeys to multiply and become more. Therefore, get ready for 2026, the year of growth, where in every season there must be fruit, according to Revelation chapter 22, verse 2. The first place we need to grow is in our spiritual life. Spiritual growth is the function of obedience to the Spirit of God. This means the Holy Spirit is the only means of growth in our Christian life. The way of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit is a way of blessings indeed. How can we grow if we don't know His ways? The University of the Holy Spirit is the high school of learning whereby spiritual truths are discerned and imbibed. It is time to learn the ways of the Spirit and be fully prepared for the blessings to come. Are you ready? The best is yet to come, indeed.
2026, the year of growth.
Thank you.
2026, the year of growth.
We learn from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 and Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 that it is in the heart and mind of God for every person who believes and obeys to multiply and become more. Therefore, get ready for 2026, the year of growth, where in every season there must be fruit, according to Revelation chapter 22 verse 2. The first place we need to grow is in our spiritual life. Spiritual growth is the function of obedience to the Spirit of God. This means the Holy Spirit is the only means of growth in our Christian life. The way of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit is a way of blessings indeed. How can we grow if we don't know His ways? The University of the Holy Spirit is the high school of learning whereby spiritual truths are discerned and imbibed. It is time to learn the ways of the Spirit and be fully prepared for the blessings to come. Are you ready? The best is yet to come, indeed.
2026, the year of growth.